is the announcement for the sign-up sheet for grounds for 2020. The sign-up sheets are posted for those interested in performing grounds work to serve as a positive witness during this season. Those who have already spoken with their crew captains, leaders, and have already committed to doing grounds work for the upcoming season do not need to sign up. But someone may well say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." Okay? It's a ground deacon scripture for the day. You. But Maranatha Church presses on in the fray. The times and the history is controlled by Jesus Christ, not by man. You got to keep that in front of you or you'll go nuts. Jesus Christ controls history. He's advancing his plan to the glorious consummation. But we have to go through these times. And we've been going through them, the church on earth, and the latest go around. Pray about it. Stay in fellowship. Deal with it like you deal with any test. Live one day at a time. Cast your cares on the Lord. Don't get caught up in the panic and all of it's going down. Use common sense. God will show you the way how to handle all this in the last days and all the changes that are coming. Apparently are coming. I mean, it could die out. I don't know. What do I know about that? But I just know in the last days there are birth pains. And as the woman gets closer to the point, they become more frequent and more intense. So keep your armor on and hang in there. God will not forsake you. You've got doctrine. You've got assets that the people out here running amok do not have. And maybe you can be a witness to them. Maybe you can point them to the truth. I don't know. Do what you can do. It's all you can be asked of you. All right. In the verses we're considering, note those. Nobody's new in the second session, but I'll read. Oh yeah, somebody is. So I'll read the verses again. We're in 1 John 5:9. If we receive the testimony of men, and we do. On a variety of subjects, I added that part to emphasize that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about the testimony of men regarding the gospel. He's talking about the general witness of people regarding topics. The testimony of God is greater. Because it's, for one thing, it's for two reasons. Two reasons. It's dealing with a more important subject, by far. And you can count on it. You can count on it 100%. Testimony of men, you have to be careful. Testimony of God, you can count on it, and it is greater. Because it's dealing with a more important topic, your spiritual well-being. Physical well-being, if you get yourself right spiritually, God will take care of your physical needs, all of them, and get you through it and give you the doctrine and the wherewithal to handle. The testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his son. He is bearing witness. God is bearing witness. And of course, the hands-on member of the deity that bears witness is the Holy Spirit. Obviously, the Father bears witness to it, but we're dealing with the Holy Spirit. That's where the information comes to individuals. The one who believes in the Son of God, there's your mechanic for salvation, has the testimony in himself. It's handed down to the next person who becomes a believer. They have this testimony within them. Now, it needs to be cultivated and developed through Bible teaching. So they have a confidence and they see it in clear perspective with more of the details plugged in. But the individual who is saved has this testimony in himself. He is committed to it. It's now his. That's what that's saying. Everybody who has believed in Christ has this testimony within them. Whether or not they are willing to bear witness to it, another matter, but they have the testimony. The one, on the other hand, who does not believe God, believe the testimony, rejects it, has made him out to be a liar. God isn't a liar, but he has made him a liar. He's called him a liar. That's pretty serious. It's blasphemy. It also plugs into our doctrine of the unpardonable sin, the unforgivable sin, the eternal sin. What sin is that? It's not what anybody normally thinks. One religion says it's suicide. It's not suicide. Self-murder or murder of someone else physically. Not any of these awful, bad, grotesque sins that are all out there running like crazy in the lawless times we're in. No, it's none of those sins. It is persistent. It is continual rejection of the witness of the Holy Spirit regarding the gospel. It is against the Holy Spirit, directly, personally. Obviously, the other members of the Godhead too, but directly towards the Holy Spirit is calling him a liar. When the witness of the gospel is presented before men and they reject it, it's called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You can go review that doctrine, the doctrine of the unpardonable sin. It's listed as three things. All blasphemy against the Father and the Son, all that can be forgiven. But not blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But it deals with a specific doctrine. A believer who rejects the ministry of the Holy Spirit with regard to a true teaching of doctrine, they're not guilty of that. It's one doctrine, the gospel, and it's directed to the Holy Spirit. That's the doctrine we have taught here. So you're as a believer, you haven't committed that sin. Now, an unbeliever out here can initially blow it off and reject it. They're not locked into that if they, before they die, turn and believe. Case in point, best example, the Apostle Paul, who was so antagonistic to the gospel until the Damascus Road experience, and then he didn't even believe on the Damascus Road. He believed up in Damascus in a hotel room, blinded. That's when he actually pushed the button and believed. But he had rejected it and was antagonistic as you could all get out. Couldn't find anybody more antagonistic at the time. But he stepped clear of that by believing. Then that's off the table. So blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is defined as rejection of Christ till death. And then you're charged with that. The unforgivable sin. And that's why people are in hell. Exclusively why they're in hell. They are not in hell. I know the temptation is there. You know, somebody does something awful. May you burn in hell for that. You see it in movies. You see it in courtroom cases where someone's done something and they're yelling this stuff. If the guy's going to hell, it isn't because he did this. He may get capital punishment and all that kind of business, but he isn't going to hell for that. He's going to hell because he rejected Christ. The thing is, he can turn it around in prison. We've heard stories, reports, of some pretty gross sinners in a penitentiary under a life sentence who believed. One of them, the serial killer in New York City back in the 70s, Son of Sam. Now he's a guy who walks around in the prison with a Bible and they say he's the nicest guy and he witnesses to people. He says when he was a young guy, he was hearing voices and all this stuff was going on. So why can't the worst sinner, we sing it in our songs, right? Name me a really bad one. Activity that you find completely reprehensible, that normal people find reprehensible. And again, not just your basic lust sins. I mean big stuff. Vicious stuff. That's why we always say around, isn't heaven going to be a revelation? And say, you're here? Whoa! Yeah, I believed at the dead end. Or I believed back when I was a kid and then I got all evil. We teach this, so we understand that part. Okay, so much for that. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar. He's not a liar. He's made him out to be a liar. He's calling him a liar. You understand that part. Because he has not believed in the witness that God has given concerning his Son. And the witness or testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It's keyed to Christ. It's only through Christ that you can lay hold of this life. Immortality. There's your immortality. Positive immortality. Blessed immortality. Immortality in the kingdom of God and all the phases of it and everything that is involved in that. You walk around out here, you've got the Holy Spirit in you, you've got eternal life in you, and Bible doctrine. To help you, and Bible doctrine touches all these different topics, like, what should I pray about? How should I pray? And even when I'm frustrated, not frustrated, but I can't articulate my pressure that's in my soul. I feel pathetic at times. Guess what? The Holy Spirit is, and I believe this by faith, Romans 8:26, He's delivering up a perfect prayer for me. You couldn't script it better. That is very encouraging. That it is not dependent on me to get every word right and get it just perfect, like a term paper or something. It's perfect. That doesn't mean you shouldn't try to articulate things. You don't just sit there and say, get in fellowship. Okay, there's my prayer. I know how things can be distorted by people. I do a lot of groaning, you know, with regard to the times we live in. And it's translated into a prayer for the return of Christ. So I add that to the incense up there. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Okay. So God himself, will just come down here, is a more reliable witness. And usually what he bears witness to is far greater value and is without error. God bears witness to his plan. Who and what he is. And of course, it's through his word, which is made clear to us by our dependency on the Holy Spirit, and that we are open and intellectually honest with regard to topics. We can be wrong about something, but in time, you'll get it figured out if you're in the right environment. It'll click. People have told me, I was having a question about this topic, and I didn't run to you. But you cleared it up in about a Bible class or two afterwards. That's the Holy Spirit working through this dummy. Okay? That's what he's doing. Under my gift. It's very encouraging. I just like to say it's very encouraging. You reviewed that. That was so helpful. That was very helpful. And it's sincere. God uses that to encourage me because I need encouragement like everyone else. Period. And I'm not asking you to come running up to me and, you know, it's not necessary. But it is when it is natural and just, yeah, that was real good. So, if you were me and you had to communicate and figure out what you need to communicate on a given occasion, much less over a period of time, and address all what needs to be addressed out here, with even a small group of people, you feel inadequate. But God takes up the slack and gets it up to that next level. He's not going to leave you out there hanging. He's going to use this person to communicate to you. Paul says, who's adequate for these things? God makes us adequate. It's overwhelming. Look at this. The Bible, all this information. And you only cover so much. So, foremost among the things he has borne witness to is his Son, top of the list. Those believers living at the first advent, very first advent, were eyewitnesses and saw with their own eyes and their own experience the attestation to the Son of God, the voice out of heaven, twice, the various other things they saw. So they had that advantage. I mean, being in the presence of the Lord and observing Him eyeball to eyeball and hearing Him teach. Yes, there was an advantage there. But we're not left out at all. We've got the Bible. We've got four gospel accounts. Two of those men were especially close eyewitnesses. Matthew and John. But they were eyewitnesses, or they were connected to eyewitnesses. That's always considered the best information in getting information, because as it gets further down, it's problematic. But that's been covered by the Scripture. We got that. We have the leisure, as it were, to study this in detail and figure these things out, as well as the rest of the Bible, which bears witness to a whole host of things. We have that. And again, we also are further privileged, because in these first century Christians who were not eyewitnesses but were still connected to an eyewitness like John, they didn't have this completed canon. And even to the extent that the canon was completed, they didn't sit out there as individual believers and turn to 1 John chapter 4, would you? They didn't have it in their hands. They were completely dependent, but God provided in that environment. What we have is the Bible in our own language, and it's relatively inexpensive to get you a nice copy of it. And if you can't afford it, we'll get you one. We'll put a New American Standard in front of you. So we have that. That for a long time in the church history, that you didn't go to a bookstore and buy a Bible. And if you did get all the copy of the Scripture, you'd have had to hire a scribe, and you'd have to fork over a significant amount of money. Now, I know in the synagogues they had the scrolls and everything. So I was always curious about that. I really feel that this is not something to take for granted, that we have our own written Bible, chapter and verse. And God developed this through the church age, through individuals. Thank God for them. So those believers living at the first advent were eyewitnesses and saw the attestation of the Son of God. They, in turn, were witnesses to the second generation of Christians. Had to have a second generation. Had to get them going, fired up, informed, and sent out there. And they did. They were faithful, as Jesus was to His disciples, so they were, so that this would become available. Oh, I didn't read any of the verses here, but our First John has it. What was from a beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And that life was manifested. We have seen, we testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So we handed it down to you. The recipients, the Christians who received 1 John, they had John to hand off to them late in his career. John 19:35. John is referring to himself here in the third person, not I saw this. He plays down himself here, the whole idea. And he who has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he's telling the truth, so that you may believe. Readers of the Gospel of John. 19:35, 21:24. This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And he's referring to the content of this gospel. We were there. We were on the scene. We saw him. We touched him. All this, heard him speak, saw what he did. And we left this record for you so that you would believe. The record has integrity. It has integrity. It's not some goofy religious writing that are so bizarre. If you've ever read in the Koran or any of this other mess, the Book of Moron. These are real intelligent people out there in Utah. I mean, they're high IQs. Some of them are in Congress. They go run around and they believe this mess. It is so anti-Christian. It's mind-boggling. But I got the Gospel of John. And there are things in it you wouldn't. It's over and over in the Bible. There are things that wouldn't be there if it was contrived. Because goofy, mixed up religious people don't think stuff through. They don't have the Holy Spirit, and He isn't overseeing it, so they don't put things in there. The human race, well, in the Middle East and in Rome and around there, they had an opportunity to verify whether Christ was resurrected or not. There was anything to this. They could have easily debunked it. They had investigators. They investigated stuff. All they had to do was get the witnesses lined up and find out the disposition of the physical details related to the empty tomb. All they had to do. That this was not a stolen body thing. The body had disappeared for sure. No one had it. But they had witnesses. They had Roman soldiers. They had all kinds of stuff that went down. They could have got to the bottom of this. But being negative, they're not going to look into this. All right, Paul had to make this point when he was before certain authorities. This wasn't done in a corner. You still have living people. You go check it out. Well, that's gone and passed. So what do we have? The Bible. The Bible. The most attacked book, the most circulated book in human history. The Christian Bible. And it bears witness. Maybe sometimes you walk around, is all this stuff I'm believing really true? Yes. It's true. To deliver you from this mixed up cosmos. Second Peter 1:16. I read this in there. Of course, Peter, an eyewitness. We didn't follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. That's limited to three disciples. Three disciples eyewitnessed that event. They told the others what they saw when they came down, no doubt. But this was done just for these three. When Jesus was transfigured on the Mount Tabor, as I told you, I had the privilege of going to the top of that. Switchbacks in a car up to the top. There were cabs and tourists running up there, coming down that boom, 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 boom. Overlooking the Armageddon plain. Boy, it's got a great vista. That could be a great place to go have a picnic. You want to go get a plane? Go. Oh, no, we can't do that. No, we can't. It was. I'm not being, it was real peaceful up there. Beautiful. It wasn't all commercialized and messed up with signs and junk. The same thing was the north coast of the Sea of Galilee, on that where it slopes down there. There was one little tiny museum where they had the Jesus boat in it. They dug a fishing boat from the time out of the mud and cleaned it up and put it in the little... That's all was in the... Basically, that was all was in the little museum. was enough. But that slope there where he stood out on a boat and used it as his pulpit and communicated to all these people sitting in this kind of a natural amphitheater way, the grounds, so that you have good vocal hearing in that environment. Amazing how you can, in some of those ancient amphitheaters where they were curved like that, how well you can hear someone that's down here talking. It's amazing. Without microphones and all that stuff. Okay, enough of that. When he received honor and glory from God the Father, and such an utterance was this made by the majestic deep glory, God speaking. Write down. The Father actually is this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. This is the second endorsement of Christ in his public ministry. These endorsements were designed to tell those in the presence that he's perfect. He's the perfect person for what I put him here for. And God doesn't pronounce this if it wasn't true. They got to hear a voice from heaven. Peter, James, and John. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Well, that mountain wasn't holy before that day. It was just another mountain. It was a high place in Israel. Mount Tabor, right outside Nazareth. That's the location up in northern Galilee, Israel. It wasn't a holy mountain. Mount Sinai wasn't a holy mountain until you know what happened there. Those are two holy mountains. There's a third, Mount Zion. Three, not Mount Everest, not Mount McKinley, whatever mountain. As impressive as they all are, nothing up there happened. They were designated set-apart mountains because of what happened there. Some places are special because of what happened there, what took place there. They in turn were witnesses. I read that verse, read that the John verse, and I'll read the Hebrews 2:3 verse. Which is, it says, how shall we escape? We won't. If we neglect so great a salvation. After it was first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and various miracles. Early church, temporary gifts, manifesting themselves. They had to have this extra thing going for them. Walking out there in the world, they had to have do some of the same kind of miraculous, some of the similar type miraculous stuff that was performed by Christ himself. Various gifts, by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Okay. Further, they were commissioned to write four separate accounts of the life of Christ. Point 10. Point 11. John's Gospel contains seven selected signs, specialized to convince men of the truth pertaining to Christ. And when you study the Gospel of John, you come across those. One of them, just quickly, raising his friend Lazarus publicly from the dead, who had been deteriorating in the sun inside of a tomb for several days, and brought him out of there. And guess who witnessed it? A bunch of people, including the religious establishment, who are always around there trying to mess things up, trying to bring some kind of discredit, but they always got checkmated. They always got checkmated. That's the thing. Even when it looked like they had the upper hand, boom. And the final one, like, checkmated their hand in twisting Pilate's arm to get him to crucify Christ where he didn't want to. I'm a Roman that administers justice, and I don't go around killing people just for the hell of it. Just because you want me to. I got to have cause. There's not, this man hasn't done anything. He hasn't done anything. It's your religious arguments. Anything to affect anything with threat to Roman rule in the area. Well, we're going to go talk to Caesar. We're going to go talk to Caesar. See the nasty kind of people they are? Well, that got him. That hit him in his weak spot. Of all things, he wanted to please Caesar. His job was more important than administering justice on that occasion. And there are people just exactly like that. Their damn job is more important than doing the right thing. It's really a good feeling if you have to lose something and you do it because you did it with integrity. You're not like the rest of these jackasses. That the paycheck is what matters. I'll bet there are people out here working for people, doing things they know is wrong. But they're not going to stand up and walk off. Get another line of work. What kind of deal is that? Talk about bad people in the world. That's first. I know this is all. But look, I got a degree and I got a salary and I know it's all lies. But hey, I don't care. I'm working for NASA. I don't give a damn. This is the mentality that exists out there. And that's why this country, in part, is in the shape it's in. And the world in general. The truth doesn't matter a lot of times. It's trampled underfoot. Well, thank God. I'm not happy that they're going to get it in the neck, but thank God he's going to bring this down and expose all this. And you and I are in the best possible deal to be on the front row of the celebration and the scene of this mess coming down. Because all the people they've hurt, all the lies they've done, and it continues. These current group of politicians, all of them. What? We are scraping the bottom of the bucket. Or the scum has risen to the top. Either way you want to look at it. It's amazing. They got one guy that says the stupidest stuff. That's even in his favor. They say he's got dementia. You know which one that is. Amazing. Anybody can make a gaffe. A stupid statement. But over and over. It's embarrassing. What happened to our basic evil leaders that had some integrity and had some kind of class about them? How do we wind up with this? Well, you know how we wound up. Nations get what they deserve. If they get a Nero, they deserved it. The last great president in my mind, and my favorite of all time in my lifetime, is John Kennedy. He was on to this shit. Sorry. He was onto this stuff. The first time I ever said that from the pulpit. And I swear I'll not do it again. John, can you bleep that little word, you know, like they do when somebody's up talking and they use the F word. They go beep, 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 beep. Do that for me, please. But he was seeing through this stuff. If you go online and look at some of the YouTube, if they still have them up, speeches he made for certain Ivy League, he was talking about the conspiracy. And that there's no place for cover-up in transparency in a democracy. And he was talking about what was out there. Add that to the reason they wanted to kill him. Floating a $2 silver certificate to compete with the Federal Reserve note. Nah, that's not good. I got one in my office. Withdrawing from Vietnam. Pulling out of that mess. None of this stuff worked. Oh, and this one will kill you any day of the week. I'm going to scatter the CIA to the four winds. Whoa. He's not a player anymore. You say, well, he had his problems. Well, of course he did. Of course he was a womanizer. Well, not of course, but he was a womanizer. I think I need to end this. You can just do the Constitution and do the right stuff. You can be a womanizer all day. They can take care of that. That's the least of your problems. And they killed Bobby, too. Period. and they killed George. Yeah, this is America. We kill people, and then we have a holiday after them. Amazing. This truly is a land of confusion. How's your political insight? Oh, by the way, if it's my call, kind of, if really bad weather comes and it's just coming down buckets, you know, then I might cancel. So, but we've got the deal. We got the mechanism to do it. Just keep looking, because we're supposed to get some heavy duty rain. But I don't know, and some whatever. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, keep us on track and keep us positive and keep us where we need to be to the end. Be with us in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.